Hey, everybody. Welcome to Unscripted Unlimited, our second show. I'm your host, Daniel Big Handsome Hummer. I'm here with my co-host and one of the most important people in my life, Eric.
What's up?
We got a big show for everybody.
How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing good.
We got a lot of stuff to get into.
I see Doug Clark today.
My brother Doug's here, too. How are you tonight, Dougie?
Pretty good. Well, I was going to say something I was getting ready to do to you, but I don't want to say it on air.
Oh, my gosh.
You ain't doing shit. You'll do nothing. All right. We got a lot to get into. Let's go to Doug with the plugs, if you can remember them.
All right.
Get your arm off me. We're not on video. I don't know why you're looking at the camera. No one can see us.
All right.
Idiot.
You're very abusive and bullyish tonight. Bitch.
Sharon.
Listen to Boxman and Smart, the Dirt Sheet Dudes. Of course you didn't see anything.
Every Wednesday and Friday. Friday is the Hollywood Hangout now after SmackDown. They'll be doing the Hollywood Hangout. And Wednesday's the wrestling show after AEW Dynamite. So make sure to check that out. Make sure to check us out at 6:30 for Unscripted Wrestling every Friday to grace your ears. Make sure to check us out here every Sunday. The times vary, or Saturday, rather. The times vary for Unscripted Unlimited. Well, we'll be getting into a lot of various topics. And then make sure to check us out Sunday at 3 p.m. for the Scaredy Cats podcast with me and Mindy. This upcoming Sunday, we're supposed to do Dawn of the Dead. Mindy can't find it anywhere, so we might call it audible, but we'll see. We'll make sure to post an update in the Facebook group. And make sure to follow the Old School Wrestling group. We will also be in Merchantville on September 18th for the toy convention. Come up and chat with us. We're still not sure if we're doing a live show or not, but we will be there and we'll be selling stuff. So come have a good time. Is there anything else we're going to get into tonight, Douglas?
All right. Make sure that you're going to let me talk without trying to intimidate me.
Yeah.
All right. This upcoming Friday, we're going to be talking the WCW Monday Nitro from September 9th, 1996. Friday, September 17th, we're not doing a show because we have to get up early. For the convention on the 18th. On September 24th, we're going to do we will be doing a company retrospective on WCW from the NWO years from 96 to 98. And then, of course, on October 1st, we'll do a company retrospective on AEW. And then on October 15th, we're going to kind of merge the two together and we're going to do like a we're going to do a show where we compare the similarities and we also talk about the differences of both companies.
Nice. That should be fun.
Yeah. So we got a lot of fun stuff coming up. You can speak now.
I don't have anything to say.
Well, that's a short
Make sure to check us out next week.
Hi, Sharon.
Do you have any more plugs, or is that it?
That's it.
Hey, Eric.
All right, guys, we got a lot to get into. Let's go to Big Brother first. Give everyone background on what happened, Doug.
All right, so SB, supposed to stand for Sarah Beth. I call her stupid bitch.
Don't be too intimidating, Doug, to the female demographic.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
She got voted out. I think it was like it was a unanimous vote. She got one vote. Tiffany voted to keep her, but that was just for sympathy.
And Claire did if it went to a tie.
Right. So it was what, like 5-1 or something, Eric?
Yeah.
So Sarah Beth's out. They had the HOH competition. Claire, of course, not able to win. Now, before the show went off the air, Big D and Alyssa were already eliminated. Now, I know who won.
So do I. So, and I'm not happy. Never mind.
Well, and here's the thing, and I'll say this. The cookout is one step closer to getting to their final six thing. And they've done a really good job of basically kind of systematically picking apart everybody. And the thing is for the most part, they've done it with like humility, except for Xavier has that cocky attitude, which he needs to get punched in the fucking face. I mean, the only problem is you punch him in the face, he will sue you because that's what lawyers do. Tiffany kind of had a bad attitude when Brittany got evicted because that's what she wanted. But ever since then, Tiffany's been fine. She just didn't like Brittany. Once Brittany got evicted out of the house, like Tiffany's attitude just kind of changed.
True.
So now they got to work on getting rid of Alyssa and Claire. Obviously, it's going to happen. I do think, though, that like from now on, if they continue with this, you know, 50-50 equal half the house Caucasian, the other half, you know, other minorities, I do think that like another group like the cookout will not be able to pull this off again because now people are going to expect it.
Yeah.
Like other house guests from now on for the next several seasons that CBS tries to, you know, CBS has this policy, they're going to expect it from now on.
Yeah.
They were able to pull this off because nobody saw it coming.
Well, yeah, because they did the Tiffany strategy of all of them having duos that they cut off at some point worked in their favor. So no one really suspected that because they thought Carmen was closest with Sarah Beth. They thought Eric is closest with Brittany. And they think Xavier is closest with Alyssa.
Right. Well, Oz and Brittany were the two that were, because Oz had tried to keep Brittany off the block.
Right.
And nobody wanted to, nobody really wanted to listen to Oz.
Yeah.
There's me with Bessie. I'm not Bessie. Francie.
Right, exactly. So, like, you know, they had that strategy. But again, what I'm saying is that they'll never be another group like that will not be able to pull this off again because now people are going to expect, okay, they did it. So what's going to stop it from happening the next season?
Yeah.
Does that go for like if there was a bunch of Asians or Asians in there?
Well, I think people just gravitate to what they know, you know?
Yeah.
Exactly.
You see, I mean, look at the brigade. Look like how many. This is kind of momentous and it's a big deal because this is the first white male jury. There's not one white male that's made it to jury. Usually, I mean, if you look at all the classic winners, that's what you see is a white straight male. The Brigade, you know, that's a bunch of white straight males coming together. So, I mean, there's nothing wrong with the cookout or a group. You go with what you know.
No,
but now you're right. It's going to be a little more expected because this, I don't think anyone expected it, but I will say that I think it's because of the duos were such a good strategy by Tiffany. And since we all know, we might as well, we'll put a spoiler alert on this, but Tiffany was the HOH.
Yeah.
Again. And I got to say, even though, I mean, you've said some negative things about her on the show, and we've all had negative sentiments, we didn't like her. But I've really came to respect her gameplay, and I've liked her a little better as a person. And with X, like Xavier, I think she's playing one of the better games in the house.
Here's the thing.
Xavier are the best two players.
Yeah, but Xavier is going to get knocked out, I think, like sooner rather than later. I could see him being, when they get to the final six, because I'm pretty sure, unless either Claire or Alyssa kind of throws a Hail Mary, and either of them wins the next HOH, which is a double eviction HOH, by the way. Unless one of them wins it, the cookout's getting to the final six. And I could see Xavier getting clipped right away.
Yeah.
Either Xavier or Ozzy.
Or Kai.
I could see that too. I mean, I think Kai's the better competitor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Xavier's played nice and low-key, though, because I don't think anyone really knows he's a target. People are kind of wanting to strike it.
Nobody knows he's a douchebag, except for anybody that listens to his stuff in the diary room.
Yeah.
I mean, because here's the thing. Like, he actually comes off as a really nice guy, on, like, screen, like, to everybody, like, in the house or whatever, right?
Yeah.
He's a real nice guy.
He's a lawyer.
What'd you say?
I said he's a lawyer. Lawyers tend to be like that.
Well, no, most lawyers, you could tell they're butt-fucking douchebags.
They have to be, because they have to defend their client, or they have to defend...
lawyers, and if you're a lawyer listening to this show, fuck you.
And why?
Lawyers have to be... I mean, they don't have to be pieces of garbage. They choose to be. But, like, anybody... If he would have revealed in that house that he's a lawyer... Everybody would realize he's a piece of shit. But because he's kept it hidden, everybody thinks he's this nice guy. And if you do not listen to his diary room stuff, you think the same thing.
Yeah.
But when you see him talk in the diary room, you want to punch him in the fucking face. Because he's allowed to be, or like in the diary room, like he's just like, you know, he gets all cocky and shit, and he has every right to be cocky because nobody's caught his ass. But, like, of the six, I think he does have a really good shot at winning as long as he keeps up the lies and manipulation. I want to see him get clipped when they get down to the six.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
See, I personally like Zayden. I don't know why I like Zayden. But...
because he's a piece of shit and you gravitate towards him.
Yeah, he likes you.
Exactly.
You're not a piece of shit, but you're a good kid.
You're not a piece of shit,
yes.
You're just brutal sometimes.
And sensitive for some reason. But, Big Brother... It's going, the season, I can't say I've seen a lot of bad gameplay. Besides, like, Frenchie, which was obviously bad gameplay.
Frenchie was horrible gameplay.
He was terrible. But with a lot of people, I feel like we've had a lot of strong game players this season. Even Sarah Beth is someone that got clipped. She kind of knew the game, and she knew what she was doing. She just got in a bad situation. Derek X, I really thought he was going to win the game. Second one in jury. So this has been a very strong competitive game.
Problem was he did not get Sarah Beth out. He decided to go for Christian instead, which is a good strategy. But when you have Christian's girlfriend still in the house, Xavier, who was very close with Christian, who basically kind of put it in his head, okay, first shot that we get to take, this asshole goes. Like, he's going. And, that's that. Because he even said that. He's like, no, Derek, because when they were trying to say, you know what, we still need him in here, he's like, no, you don't. And you don't, because I say you don't. So if Derek X would have gotten Sarah Beth out and not Christian and kept Christian in there for a couple of weeks, then Derek X would probably still be there.
Yeah.
But he decided, he took the shot. And unfortunately, when you take the shot and you really have nobody behind you.
Yeah. Not like he thought he had. I think he was doing a little better. But he didn't know about the cookout.
He didn't know about the cookout. And, again, he made the horrible mistake of not playing the chopping block roulette. Because if he would have, he more than likely would have won. He would have kept himself safe. He'd still be there. But because he listened, because Kylan and Hannah both said, no, you don't need to play.
Bless you. Thank you.
Because they...
I still covered, though.
I know you did. But because he decided, because he was told, you know, you don't need to play, and he trusted them, Kylan was basically telling him not to play so he could... because he's the one that planted the idea in Sarah Beth's head, look, you need to get rid of him. Because Kylan was playing a very smart game. Hannah, I don't know what the fuck she was thinking. Telling him not to play.
Yeah.
Because unless she really wanted him out.
I mean, yeah, she's cooked out.
For her emotions, she needed her in that. Because if it came down to her or him or, let's say, Tiffany, she would have a hard time choosing. Especially, like,
Final Four. Sometimes you got to do things that you don't want to do to
win. Yeah, and Xavier wasn't happy about it either. That. And Tiffany had realized, I think Tiffany was also afraid of getting on Xavier's bad side. I know Aza was afraid of it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Derek X, had he not taken the shot at Christian, I don't think he would have put a target on his back.
Yeah.
Because if he would have gotten rid of Sarah Beth, Sarah Beth wouldn't be able to get rid of him. And then him and Christian would probably be working together right now.
Very true.
But unfortunately,
taking out Christian changed the game.
Huh?
Taking out Christian was beneficial to the Shits.
I agree.
Yeah, it was it though?
They're still there, all of them.
Well, it was beneficial. It was beneficial for that or for them, but they didn't know it at the time because they thought about trying to keep him.
Well, he was Xavier's guy, wasn't he?
Yeah.
So everyone had to lose their duo. He signed up for that. Everyone else.
Well, no, they didn't want to lose the duo because they had to have their duos for jury.
Yeah.
Christian didn't make it to jury.
Yeah. But that strengthened Xavier's bond with Alyssa. That might not have been there if Christian was still at the house. Alyssa's ride or die for him. Any day of the week, if he's in the final two, he's getting Alyssa's vote. Christian leaving was beneficial for Xavier's game because it let him strengthen with Alyssa. And now those two are, like, inseparable. He knows he's got to clip her soon, but even when he clips
her... Which more than likely is going to probably be this week because Alyssa pointed out to Claire, hey, just so you know, you're the only white person left. And Xavier took offense to that.
I don't think it was more like, why are you blowing it up or why are you like telling her that information? But he doesn't want to target her because of that. I think he wants to target her so Claire doesn't think that because she is not white. So even though she's not the six, I think if he takes her out, that'll kind of, you know, void suspicion for Claire for a while. And then he can take a shot at her the next week. It's great strategy by him. Him and Tiffany, man.
Oh, well, and that's the thing. It's gonna one of those, and again, I would prefer Tiffany winning over him. But it's just, Like, first of all, who cares if the game's blown up? You're outnumbering people 6-2.
Yeah, I mean, you're going.
It can blow up now.
It's a final six, and there's 8 people left. You won. I mean, you're pretty much
so,
there.
So quit being a lawyer, and guess what? It's already out there.
I'm glad they're talking about turning on each other now, though. Like, they're starting to see who should be the first one to go, who should be this.
Yeah.
People are saying who they want to clip. There's final threes happening. So this is where it's getting really interesting and fun. And with the next 2 double evictions, a lot's going to go down fast. So it's going to be a lot to look forward to.
I don't think Claire and Alyssa are both going on this. I think one of the cookout members is getting clipped in this double eviction.
I think so, too.
But with that being said,
whoever stays between Claire and, I mean, whoever stays, I think wins things to link.
Yeah, maybe. We'll definitely see. All right. But with all that being said, we're going to move on to our cartoon spotlight. Dougie, what would that cartoon spotlight be?
Ed, and Eddie. Of course, from Cartoon Network, it started like 01 or something like that, right?
Yeah,
started in
1999.
Oh, 1999? Yeah. All right, so what about 10 years? Only like 5 of that, though, I think is actually on HBO Max.
Yeah.
And again, Cartoon Network, and we talked about it last year when we did our cartoon tier list.
Yeah.
And everybody just kind of shit on it.
Yeah.
It's
me off to all hell.
Yeah. You talk about shitty people. That was almost a whole panel of shitty people, except for maybe 1 or 2.
But
I said except for 1 or 2. I'm just not saying who the 1 or 2 are.
Okay.
Leave it up to imagination. Go back and listen to the episode. You might know what I'm talking about. But like, here's the funny thing. It was a goofy cartoon, but it was coming around a time where cartoons were almost becoming a dying breed.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of things I like about this. It was created by Danny Antonucci. It was when Cartoon Network was on that rise when I was a kid, and they were really killing it with the shows. You know, you had Samurai Jack, Courage, this, Johnny Bravo. Eventually, you get Codename Kids Next Door and stuff later on. But there was a lot, the big lineup back then. Lineup. It was one of the final big lineups of cartoon history of kids wanting to sit down Saturday mornings and watch cartoons.
Yeah, Saturday mornings also, a lot of them actually premiered. Actually, if you go back to like the early days of Cartoon Network, you know, 97, 98, you know, stuff like that, probably even 96, a lot of these cartoons actually had their new episodes were on Sunday nights. And so, like, it wasn't just a Saturday morning thing. It was also a Sunday night thing. Because I remember when I used to watch Dexter's Laboratory, I would always get the I would always watch the new episode on Sunday night. Dexter's Laboratory and Cow and Chicken. Because I really didn't care about Johnny Bravo or the Powerpuff Girls. But this... But yeah, like you said, this was really like the last, like...
And can I give you my thing on Eddie?
Sure.
Are we good now? I love you, buddy. I'm sorry if I hurt your feelings.
You're good.
Now, Ed and Eddie, one thing that I liked about this, and I think what separated it from a lot of other cartoons, is we've talked about James Bond Jr., right? Did we talk about Scooby-Doo?
Yeah, I believe so.
I think we've talked about Scooby-Doo, and we're also big fans of, like, Dexter and stuff like that. They're all pretty insane, wacky premises. It's all like a talking dog. It's all, like, nut stuff because it's animation and you can do that. But there was something that was cool to me about just, like, this could have been a live-action show. This was three, you know, oddball, you know, you know, little middle schoolers that just wanted to make money, and they were just scam artists. And they're like, it could be three, you and your two buddies. A lot of kids can relate to this because they're just like three dickheads just trying to come up with stuff to make cash. And they love fucking jawbreakers. They love candy. Everyone loves candy. Kids love candy. So they watch this and they're like, oh, they're three scammers trying to come up with little quick cash grab schemes and, you know, little money plots and buy their jawbreakers. And it was just a funny, you know, relatable type show that it was a lot like that's how little kids are. And the most of the, like, really funny stuff came from the side characters, like Ralph, right? The foreign kid who was always Ed Boy, you know. Life has many tunnels, Ed Boy. And, of course, Jimmy. And does Jimmy have Plank?
It was Johnny, right?
Yeah, Johnny. And
Jimmy was the kid with the braces that hung out with Big Ed's sister, Sarah.
Yeah. So like the three trailer trash girls that always wanted to clap at Ed.
The canker sisters.
Yes. It's just there was a lot of like fun, like it was one of those shows that they could do whatever in whatever episode because everybody was funny. And it was like the whole cast, it was like an ensemble cast for a comedy, which is or for an animated show, which doesn't happen a lot.
No, I mean it happens in like shows like Family Guy and The Simpsons, but that's different because that's like adult animation. I mean this was obviously geared towards kids.
Yes. But they still had something for the – like, I can babysit and watch this with a kid and get laughs out of it. You know, I can hang out, drink a beer, watch Ed and Eddie. It's a fun, like, type of show that has little nods to adults and stuff, too. Because they're very – like, and I just love – I mean, Eric, who is your favorite? Ed, or Eddie? Double D, Ed, or
– Eddie?
Do you remember him?
Totally.
Okay. Doug, who's your favorite?
Big Ed.
Oh, the dumb one?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was funny. And they had such a good dynamic because Big Ed was so – he was the dumb one. He was a stupid one, and he usually fucked stuff up, right?
Yeah.
And then you had Eddie, who – he was the schemer. He was the slimy one.
Oh, yeah, he was.
Arguably the villain, even though he's the protagonist. But you can see he was kind of a prick. He just cared about the money. I mean, he cared about his friends, or he seemed to sometimes, but he really just wanted them jawbreakers. And then you had Double D, who was the intelligent, smart one, and you would never see above his hat or what was under his hat.
Right.
In the movie, though, Ed and Eddie's Big Picture Show, you get a little bit in Eddie's backstory. You see his older brother, and his older brother's a real dick, and he bullies him and stuff. So you kind of see, like, his backstory and why he was a bit of a jerk. So they even fleshed out the plot a little bit. So it's not just like your typical cartoon. They give you a little bit of story there, too.
Well, that's you know, always a good, though, too, because, well, and that's what you have to do in movies.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, I remember, I kind of remember, I didn't watch a lot of it during, like, its first run, because, you know, I was starting to get a little older. But I remember watching, like, some of the episodes with you, because I remember how into it you were. You know, with Cartoon Network being this thing. Because I remember watching, like, this, Codename Kids Next Door, and Courage the Cowardly Dog, I know were, like, your top three.
Yeah. Well, this is one of Cartoon Network's most successful shows, too. Because you got to think, they were gone for a couple years at a time. Season 1 and Season 2 were both in 99. Season 3's in 2001. Season 4's in 2002. And then season 5 kicks off in 2005.
Yeah, because they had, like, that gap.
Yeah.
Which, some cartoons were like that, though.
And it can be a good thing, because it's not oversaturation.
Yeah. It's not like those, and we talked about those cartoons before, that every day was a new episode.
Yeah.
And you have, so if you're going Monday through Friday, and it's a new episode every day, and you say, oh, you know, this cartoon had 40 episodes. Okay, so they were on for 2 months. Big deal. Most sitcoms, if they're only on for 2 months, are considered a failure.
Yeah, I'd probably rate this cartoon 8 out of 10.
I would give it a 7. It's not necessarily my cup of tea, but I did enjoy it because I do enjoy, like, goofy cartoons.
Yeah.
I'll give it a 7, too.
Yeah, I mean, it was a popular show, 10-year run, attracted over 31 million households. It got positive reviews. It was huge for Cartoon Network, so it was a big show. I love watching reruns and stuff. Eric, do you have an athlete, or are we not doing that this week?
UFC today, John Jones.
Okay, John Bones Jones, the legend. You want to talk about him?
The legend and the somewhat cheater, I guess. I don't want to really talk about that right now. So he started in 2008. He made his UFC debut against Andre Gasma. But his second fight was against Stefan Bonner. We all know that name. He's kind of a legend. He's fought a lot of legends. He's fought Stefan. He fought Brendan Vera. He fought
he beat our boy
Brian Boehner. Yep. The tail. He beat Shogun?
Shogun Rua? No, he didn't.
Yeah, that's when he won the light heavyweight championship. He beat Rampage. He's beat Machida. Rashad Evans, Victor Belfort, Chael Sonnen, as he said, Alex the Great, Butcherson, Glover,
Rampage Jackson,
twice. Yep, he's beat a lot of good guys. Despite all the negative stuff about him, he's still a legend. He's still one of the greatest of all time. Some people say he's the GOAT. That could be argued. That could be argued because you have Anderson Silva, but yeah, he's one of the greatest of all time.
Yeah, but Anderson
despite
Silva
all the cheating he did. Yeah.
And I don't know about cheating. Has he ever gotten knocked for PEDs? I thought he just had a coke habit. I don't know if he's a cheater. He's just, the John Jones is the creme de la creme. He is pound for pound the greatest heavyweight or light heavyweight, whatever you want. He's the greatest fighter ever. He has one loss on his career, and his loss was from throwing an illegal knee. So he's never been actually beaten.
Exactly.
He's never been tapped, submitted, went the distance, and lost. The dude has a flawless record. The only problem is he's a partier. He likes to go out to the strip clubs, do coke, and do whatever the fuck he wants. He likes to live that high life lifestyle, the Ric Flair lifestyle.
Yeah.
Only problem is when you're best in the world, that can conflict. It's never lost him a fight, but the media has turned against him.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not a big John Jones fan, but I respect the guy. He's beaten DC twice, and one is no contest. That's hard for the drugs. But you got to respect him even if you don't like him. Yeah.
He knocked out one of the greatest heavyweights of all time. So he's beat, like you said, he beat Rashad Evans. One of the greatest. He beat Vitor Belfort. He hosted a season of The Ultimate Fighter with Chael Sonnen and then beat him at the end. The only guy that's ever tested him is Alexander Gustafsson, and that was in the first fight. They went the distance, and Gustafsson had a lot of good shots on him. But then he came back and knocked him out the second fight in the third round. This guy's a beast. You have a piece to say about John?
Yeah.
From what I've seen of him, he is an excellent fighter. Yeah, and to me, it really doesn't matter about, like, the stuff he's done outside of UFC.
Yeah.
I mean, because, again, he's a partier, and when you party like that, I mean, athletes party like that all the time. They just, a lot of them don't make it public. Huh?
I said Gronk is like that.
Yeah, but they don't make it public. I mean, Gronk kind of makes it public, but that's just because he's stupid. But, like, so as long as he, like, just, I mean, if he keeps this stuff to himself and doesn't post it on, like, social media and all that stupid bullshit, who cares what he does? He doesn't cut. Does he come into the cage fucked up?
No.
Okay.
He's never done that, to my knowledge. If he is, then he's pretty good at it. All right. Let's transition to that, to the fight night tonight. Eric, you don't have much to say because you didn't watch it. You and me just watched it, Doug.
I watched the last three fights, so I can say that.
Well, the first two, Doug. Our boy Patty the Batty Pimblett. He took down Luigi Verdomini, whatever the fuck. But Patty, he had a lot of hype going in this. He looks like a lot of different people. I think he looks like Owen Hart. He's a badass kid from Liverpool. He could be the next British superstar. We have a very congested lightweight division, bless you, that he's coming in. And he made a hell of a performance tonight, huh, Doug? Give your thoughts.
He did, and it looked like at first he was going to get his ass beat. But he came back. He knocked out Luigi.
Yeah.
I mean, he beat the hell out of him. And it was funny, like, this is a very, like, British heavy card.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be in England.
Huh?
It was supposed to be in England. That's why it was an early fight night.
Yeah, it was supposed to. Oh, yeah, that's right. Because of, like, travel restrictions, they couldn't do it, right?
Yeah. That's why there were so many England guys.
But, at first I actually thought this thing was going to be in London. But, I mean, a lot of those restrictions are going to get lifted soon anyway because, you know, NFL is going to start doing the London games again.
Yeah.
Nice.
But that's actually one of the reasons why one of the matches for All Out got canceled tomorrow night is because they can't get Pac back into the country in time. Which that's another story for a wrestling show. All I'm going to say about that is that if you have so much trouble getting in and out of the country, rent a place here.
Bingo.
Have them put you up in a fucking hotel.
Yeah. But yeah, this is a hell of a fight.
Yeah.
The next fight, Rowtree Jr., holy shit, that kick.
The kick, he tore the guy's ACL.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Oh, yeah, I saw this fight, yeah.
It was a crazy one. No one likes to see a leg go like that, but it was something. Next up, Alex Morono. David Zawada went the distance with Morono getting the victory. Morono kind of controlled the whole fight, but there was good strikes throughout. What do you think, Eric?
I thought this was a dominant fight from Alex. He's a good fighter. I mean, he talked about his team. He hyped them up, so he's a team player too.
What do you think, Dust?
I thought it was a really good fight. Yeah, and he hyped up his team, and obviously he's a team player. But yeah, this was a really good fight. He controlled it pretty much the entire time.
Yeah, it was his pace, and it was his fight. He did well. Next up, I would give the fight of the night, Tom Aspinall, also from England, against Sergey Spivak. And Sergey didn't get a shot in the whole time. It went 2 minutes and 30 seconds. That elbow was crazy, right, Doug?
Yeah, it was a crazy elbow, and, like, it's funny. You picked Sergey to win this thing. And I'm like, no, I go, because it's a very, like, the people from London, because even the last prelim before the main card, the girl that was on there, Molly McCann, they call her the meatball, which is a bad nickname because there is not an ounce of fat on that girl. So it's got to be a vegan meatball. But how not necessarily dominant, but the fact she won. And then she came out when Patty won.
Yeah.
because, you know, they're countrymen.
Yeah.
And then, but I had a feeling it's like this Aspinall, he's going to keep the momentum going.
He did.
And yeah, the fact that he controlled it and he called it, he said, I'm knocking him out in the first round.
Yep.
And guess what? He did.
What do you think, Eric?
I thought it was a fantastic fight. I thought this guy's going to be, I think he might be a future champion. He doesn't want to fight the best fighters yet. He's taking it slow, which I can respect. He's not calling out anybody. He takes fights. He'll take it. He'll take whoever they give him, and I can respect that.
Yeah. I mean, I'd like to see Tuivasa maybe in the future. I think would be a good matchup. I think Derek Lewis coming out of that loss would be a good matchup. I think there's a lot of things he could do.
Yep.
I'd love to see him and Tuivasa, or even him and Derek Lewis, like you said.
Yeah.
I mean, he could be – is he ranked yet or no?
Yeah, I think he's 13 or 12.
Okay, so – couple more big wins, he can end up facing, you know, whenever Nagano wants to get back in the ring, or not back in the ring, back in the cage.
Yeah, he's got Surreal Gone in January, but maybe after that.
Nagano?
Yeah.
Okay, well, it's finally
going
to happen.
Yeah.
Nagano
finally
filed out filed the paperwork.
Yeah, they're paying him, so.
Chat's going to bounce. But yeah, like after I could see Aspinall getting a title shot in a year.
Yeah, you just got to keep it up.
Yeah.
All right.
That's if he wants
not,
it.
He does. Yeah, if he wants it. I mean, he seems to want to take it slow. I mean, like we said, Darren Till. We were talking about earlier, Doug, about how he might have got pushed too hard, too fast in the UFC, and obviously Aspinall doesn't want that to happen to him. So I think he wants to keep racking up wins and then officially take a shot when he feels like he's ready. Now, moving on to Darren Till, who's a guy that I've always enjoyed. I find him hilarious. I find him funnier. His trash talk's a little better than Conor McGregor to me. But
yep.
He didn't get it done tonight.
That too.
He didn't get it done tonight. Derek Brunson, this was a classic striker versus grappler affair. The grappler got the upper hand. You know, him just with those brutal takedowns in the ground and pound, and then eventually got the choke in. There wasn't a whole lot Till could do. He did get that flurry at the end where it looked like he was going to knock him out.
It looked like he was going to pull a Patty and he was going to, you know, take care of business. But then Bronson's just like,
Another takedown.
Yeah.
So this was a nice,
exciting
fight. Brunson's really good. This was a very exciting fight. What was your thoughts on it, Derek?
I think Brunson is underrated. He's a former two-time division champion in Bellator. So people underestimate some Bellator fighters that when they come to UFC, but he is really good. And he proved it tonight. And he called out Izzy. He basically said, fuck you, Izzy. I'm next.
Yeah, that's an interesting fight, too, because Izzy's a kickboxer. So to see how he would go up against the wrestling would be fun.
Exactly. I would love Brunson to beat him. I'm not a big Izzy guy, though.
So. If Sean Strickland can keep it up, I'd like to see those two go at it.
That would be kind
of
fun.
Yeah, him too, yeah.
All right. What would you guys give this overall? I thought the card was solid. I'm giving it an 8. I didn't get bored the whole time.
I would give it an 8.5.
I'd give it an 8 for what I saw. I only missed one match, apparently. So that's all I watched, showing 3. So.
Yeah, you watched most of it. All right, Doug, you want to do a quick toy spotlight? We'll head home.
So because we're previewing stuff we're taking to the toy fair, this week's Toy Spotlight is actually going to be one that I know an awful lot about. And I'm going to be selling some of these at the Toy Fair. I'm going to be selling the ones that really don't mean that much to me.
Yeah.
The WWF Hasbro line. Which was the WWF's second toy line, came out in 1990 through 1994. There was 11 series in the line. I basically have a figure from each series. One of the series I actually have complete, and that's Series 7. These are probably, well, besides the LJN line, which was WWF's first toy line, these are probably the most valuable figures that WWF has. Because these go for an awful lot of money.
Yeah. I mean, that's your pride and joy.
Yeah. Which is one of the reasons why certain somebody told me that we should sell some of these.
Probably a handsome motherfucker.
Yeah. Can be a boob sometimes, but he is pretty handsome.
Thanks.
No problem.
Yes, he is. Thanks, Doug.
Eric takes credit for everything.
Yeah. And Eric's the one that told me not to sell him. It's over there.
You're over there.
Yeah. Oh.
Well, somebody had to.
But what? Tell me not to sell them?
Yeah, they're your pride and joy.
Yeah, well, it's also all about money.
Money, 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 money.
Yeah, I know.
Money, 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 money.
I know how much they mean to you, so.
Well, yeah, and they do. I'm not getting rid of all of them. I'm getting rid of the ones that I can afford to get rid of because, you know, eventually also, too, I can also build the collection back up.
Very true.
Exactly.
Now, some of the most valuable figures out there, which I do not have. Well, I have one of them loose. The two most valuable figures out there, and Eric, we've actually talked about this when I did the history lesson on all the WWF/WWE toys.
Okay.
Two of the more valuable figures out there are Andre the Giant, which was in Series 1, and Dusty Rhodes, which was Series 2. And Dusty's hard to find because not a lot of them were produced because by the time the line had been released, Dusty was already back in WCW booking. So, there weren't a lot. There were not a lot released. There was very few. You couldn't really find it in stores. And what was also funny about it too is that like certain figures could still be found in stores, like several like lines later. Like you could actually still find figures from Series 1 on the shelves when. Series like 6 or 7 figures were being released. But like some of the ones like the Dusty one, which was pulled off the shelves by the time Series 3 came out. Honky Tonk Man's another one. Where like there's not necessarily a lot of those that, you know, it didn't really, you know, not necessarily last a while. But, like, Ted DiBiase, his figures, and he had figures released in Series 1, Series 2, and Series 9. Those could be basically still be found up until the series ended in 1994 after Series 11. Andre the Giant, Dusty Rhodes, and 1-2-3 Kid. That's also a very valuable one. That one in the package. Andre and Dusty in the package itself you'll probably see people try to sell them for about $500 to $1,000. I've seen 1-2-3 Kid ones go in the package for up to about $2,000.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, those are We're going to be selling. I kind of have an idea which ones I'm selling at. I have to go through them because we are pricing all the stuff this weekend. So I do have to go through and see exactly which ones I'm getting rid of, because the majority of them are in a box upstairs. The ones that are hanging up on my wall, I'm not getting rid of.
Nope.
But, yeah, so if you come to the convention, and if you're a Hasbro collector and you come to the Merchantville Toy Fair, we will have, I don't know if we're going to be the only booth that has them, but we will have them. And I'm going to try not to, be, too far out there with my prices. Because a lot of these, especially the ones that I'm getting rid of, I started rebuying a lot of these about 5-6 years ago, when the market was still kind of down on them. They didn't start reaching, high value till probably about 2017-2018. Because there's a few of them that I bought in, 2017. I bought them for, maybe, 35, 40 bucks. Now they're going for, 150.
Holy shit.
Wow.
Yeah. So I bought them at the right time.
Good job, Doug.
So thank you. But yeah, so, and there's a, like I said, there's a lot of them, 11 series out there. There's over 100 figures. Some of which actually still escape me, because there's a lot of them that I'm still trying to get that I can't.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's getting to the point to where the ones that I can't get are actually the most expensive ones.
Mm-hmm. All right, boys, is that it? Or?
Yeah. Did you have any other spotlights you wanted to do, or do you want to wait till next week?
I'm good.
Okay.
All right, fellas, this was great. We will see everybody next week. Eric, I love you.
You too. Same. Love you, Doug. Love you, Dan. Love you, Sam.
Oh, I love Sharon.
Love you too, Eric.
Bye, honey.
Much love to everybody.